it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, it is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Tuesday night, we are here once again, as always. Crave Wrestling, Tuesday Night Delight, Pancakes and Power Slams. I am Chris Featherstone, your host, along with my esteemed co-host, Derek.
Oh, yeah, Derek's here. Hey, what's going on, Chris? What do you got for us this week? Anything new with Pancakes and Power Slams? Turn it up. This is the premier show for wrestling. If you haven't listened previously the last few weeks, then you probably don't really know what wrestling is. But you're about to find out. The next hour and a half, Chris and I are on deck. We're going to teach you. We're going to tell you. We're going to show you. This is what wrestling is. We are live. Pancakes and Power Slams. 347-884-8452 is the number to call in. Check us out in the chat room, Twitter, Chris Featherstone, Derek, the Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. He's just a common man working hard with his hands. Chris Featherstone, what's up? What's going on this week?
He's just a common man working hard for the man. Ladies and gentlemen, we got the American Dwayne Dusty Rose, live in a living color, getting funky like a monkey every wheel.
Who was the manager of Dusty Rhodes in WWE?
Come on now. That was incredibly easy. Sapphire.
Easy.
Everybody knows
that.
Doggone
it, Derek. Why can't you get harder questions?
Yeah.
Because that's up to Chris Featherstone to give hard questions. I'm there
what
to
was
answer.
What was Dusty Rhodes' alter ego in the NWA?
The Dirty Yellow Dog.
No, come on.
Yellow
See, there
Dog.
You go.
Midnight Rider.
The Midnight Rider, there you go,
yes.
Absolutely. The Midnight Rider.
Yes,
he was
Barry
Windham feuding.
Was Dirty Yellow.
Yeah, he was the Yellow Dog, yes.
Yellow Dog.
The Yellow Dog. And him and Pillman, he was the Dirty Yellow Dog or something of that nature. But Brian Pillman was the Yellow Dog.
He was also
random.
Bruce Cannon.
He was. Brian Pillman was
one of the
controversial. Flying Brian Pillman, he Cincinnati Bengals came in as a football player and Flying Brian and, you know, all that. And then I remember he made his heel turn around him feuding with Brad Armstrong for the light heavyweight title in the WCW, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. Dusty, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Yeah,
why did I ever mention Dusty Rhodes?
I just wanted to do a real quick, you know, impersonation
okay,
of Dusty
you did,
Rhodes.
So what's next?
Cody Brian Rhodes, Pillman.
Cody and Goldust had a good job last night, so
we'll keep
the ball rolling.
They did. They did
That's
a fantastic
awesome.
Job. As always, Raw in Manchester, England, Derek, the Pancakes of Power Slams correspondent, just interrupted my Dusty Rhodes impersonation, and
don't thank me.
Nobody interrupts my Dusty Rhodes, and no, it's okay. I've done enough Dusty Rhodes. I think I've done another Dusty Rhodes impersonation in a previous show, but you can't get enough Dusty. All right, let's go to the see the chat rooms coming and filling up. 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. We'll try our best to get some tweets in. Again, Crave Wrestling, tweet at Crave Wrestling for the whatever you want to, whatever you feel like saying. You know, appropriate comments will be said on the air. And again, 347-884-8452 is the number to call live if you think you got what it takes to either answer a trivia question live on the air or let us know, of course, your feelings about Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, ROH, which I'll go a little bit more into ROH this week because I was incredibly impressed. I'm always impressed with ROH's work, but this week was something special, and hopefully we'll have enough time for that. Fight of the Week this week, we're going to talk a little Hulk Hogan. I wrote an article on Bleacher Report this weekend posing the question. Derek and I, we've really, I guess, honed in. We should patent a thumbs up, thumbs down. Not so much movie reviews like Roger and Ebert or Ebert and Roper, but we have mastered the thumbs up, thumbs down as far as professional wrestling is concerned. And
we have. It's spread. The best 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the week. So tune in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The flavor of the week is absolutely, it's spontaneous. It's retro. It's nostalgic. We talk some good stuff. We've this is episode number 85. So we've had around 85 flavor of the week episode topics. Can you believe 80? Over 80. Maybe we missed a week or two based on, I don't know, time or holiday. But we haven't missed a week of shows, but maybe we have missed a week or two of Flavor of the Week. But safe to say over 80 Flavor of the Week topics in the past year and a half of Pancakes and Power Slams. I thank everyone so much for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. And by the way, before I go forward, again, cravewrestling@gmail.com. I've had a ton of emails and interaction throughout Gmail. People have asked me to be a part of their book. And speaking of that, major shout out to one of our proud sponsors. Fantastic website, wearewrestling.net, a group of passionate wrestling fans came together and compiled their uber wrestling knowledge to make a website, and they also have a show on Mondays as well. So check them out, wearewrestling.net. Nice layout on the site as well. Of course, some really good insight, and you can tell that they know what they're talking about. So they're proud fans, proud supporters of WrestlingInc.com as well, and that's a site that I write for, WrestlingInc.com, the largest independent wrestling site in the world, actually. Nice little statistic there. But, yeah, check out my work on wrestling.com. But more importantly right now, check out wearewrestling.net. They're a fledgling company, and they just hope to continue to grow. And based on what I see so far and what I'm experiencing with the passions they have to really broaden their audience, we are here to help them. And Pancakes and Power Slams reaches tens of thousands of people through Bleacher Report and WrestlingInc.com. So, hey, I'm here to help. And anybody who else wants some love, wants a plug, CraveWrestling@gmail.com, and check us out. We got some good deals as far as advertisement and sponsors and all that good stuff. But right now, special shout out, wearewrestling.net. Check them out. Check out their website. Check out their show on Mondays. All of that information is on the site, and continue to show your love. I mean, wrestling is another language in a sort. Just years and years, like I was talking about the over 80 Flavor of the Week segments and, that we've talked about. Just so much to talk about, so much wrestling to talk about. I have my Retro Wednesday articles every week, and most of the time I just I don't, throughout the day I'm wondering, I really don't take much thought to it. It just comes to the top of my head and I start writing about it. Like last week I wrote about Sean Waltman pinning Razor Ramon back in 93, May of 93. X-Pac. And he, at the time, he was the – well, actually, at the time, he was just the kid. And he came from the Global Wrestling Federation. I actually followed him before he came to the WWE. I followed him in the Global Wrestling Federation back in the early 90s, 91, actually, when he was feuding with Jerry Lynn out of anyone, who had a – Jerry Lynn is one of the most underrated – wrestlers in pro wrestling history, without a doubt. Jerry Lynn is a phenomenal, phenomenal wrestler. Never really got a chance to shine in the WCW or the WWE. Definitely shined in the ECW, won a world title there. But as far as the big two, he never really got a chance to shine. I would say probably the biggest accomplishment they got in the WWE was winning the light heavyweight championship. But the GWF, man, and check the GWF out on ESPN Classics. They're actually playing marathons of the GWF, so check that out on ESPN Classics. For those who never watched GWF, don't know about it, I mean, you'll see some really, really cool names from that became legendary. JBL, he was called John Hawk at the time. Of course, you have Booker T and Stevie Ray. They were the Ebony Experience. And, I mean, just the list goes on. Sean Waltman, Jerry Lynn, as far as newer talent that became stars, those are the list there. And, yeah, absolutely. GWF was a – only lasted for 3 years, I believe, 91 to 94, if I'm not mistaken. But it became incredibly popular. So let's get to Raw here. We get to the – we're in Manchester, England. We get to a Randy Orton in-ring promo. First of all, before I go further into that, let's start off with some trivia. We love some trivia here at Pancakes and Power Slam. So, who played the fake Diesel? Who portrayed the fake Diesel? So we'll see. I mean, that's easy. I mean, you talk about your icebreakers. That's pretty damn
Kevin
easy.
Kevin Nash.
who played the fake Diesel? Kevin Nash. I think that Derek is trying to.
Was that the fake Kevin Nash?
Who played the fake Kevin Nash? I don't know who was the fake Kevin Nash, but I guess you could say the fake Diesel. We do got an answer in the chat room that says Kane. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Kane is the correct answer. Glenn Jacobs. However you want to put it. The next question, next trivia question is, this is easy too. I just write a ton down. And this is an icebreaker too. I want to get to the harder ones, but I'll do this one here. Who was known as the Second City Saint? Who was known as the Second City Saint? That's an easy one as well. So Randy Orton cuts a promo on Raw. Gets interrupted by Brad Maddox, then Kane, and then Vicky Guerrero. They all have a power struggle. Vicky books Goldust and Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. And then the Goldust and Cody Rhodes defeat Randy Orton by count out due to Orton walking out and the Big Show appearing and taking out Orton. That spot, that choke slam spot was really nice. But that's about it. I mean, I've made it known I'm not really interested in the Big Show being a main event guy, being a top guy. I think that this will be kind of a one-and-done type of thing. I don't see Big Show in the title hunt against Orton after Survivor Series. If so, it'll be to the end of the year. They may carry something over until December's pay-per-view, which I believe is TLC, if I'm not mistaken. And that's about it. I mean, they'll make it some type of tables match or chairs match or something like that. But that's about it. I really don't see anything else after that. And I really don't see the Big Show actually winning the championship. Interesting comment here in the chat room says, I'm wondering what they will have in store for Mark Henry when he returns. That's a great point, especially since he looks like a he looks like he ate Kimbo Slice and automatically donned his look. I like the bald head bearded Mark Henry, but he looks like a overgrown Kimbo Slice to me, which is even scarier than he did before. So it would be really, really weird if he came back as a baby face, because Mark Henry's look has heel written all over it. So if I had to insert Mark Henry somewhere right now, I would have him. I would have him put over Big E Langston, actually. And I would set that up for either if he came back next week, if he had to come back next week, and if I was the one that was, if they said, Chris, find a place for him on Raw, find somewhere to do with him, I would set up a feud with him and Big E Langston, and I would have him put over Big E. Mark Henry's been in the business for 17 years. Since 96, so he's at the point now where he can definitely put people over, and so I would definitely put him in a feud with Big E Langston.
Yeah, he probably would, and I could see how that would work, but I wanted to kind of get to the point where you see Randy Orton last night he was with Brad Buttocks. And Kane comes out being the
corporate.
That'll
be trending here soon on Brad Buttocks.
You know,
nice.
It gets old. I'm the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Helmsley era. They've seen that before, 12 years ago. Get over it. It's done. It's been done before, and they think wrestling fans aren't going to remember. Oh, this is the same thing happened 12 years ago. Kane wasn't involved back then, but he is now. Disgusting. I don't like it. I don't like Randy Orton. I like how you put Mark Henry and Biggie Langston together. I could see that happening. And you know, the Kimbo Slice thing, I always like Mark Henry of the Dreads. That's Mark Henry to me. So, again, the Raw started out in kind of a slumber, and I think it ended in a slumber. But overall, if we want to talk about the Raw starting out last night, it's a little bit intriguing, but it was the match after that was really good, so repeat that.
Oh, was it the match
well,
after
say really good. I mean, it overshadowed
the match.
Yeah, come
the
on
match.
Monday Night Raw, give me a break, let's start, you're looking like TNA.
The match after that was Santino and Los Matadores against the Union Jacks. I have no idea
was it
why.
Really?
Yeah, that was Santino.
I thought it was Gold Dust and Cody Rhodes against what's his face.
Well, yeah. I mean that the match, yeah, that actual match was decent. Gold Dust and Cody Rhodes always they have been delivering. They are the hottest tickets on in the WWE right now. I would say
on Monday Night Raw.
I would say the Rhodes brothers and the Usos are the four hottest commodities right now because both – it just really goes to show, and I think we've talked about this before in previous shows, it goes to show the uprising of – and I totally agree with that comment that I was just placed in the chat room. Goldust is doing some of his best work ever right now at 44 years old too, and that's absolutely fantastic. He's in shape. You can tell. You can tell that Dustin Runnels, Dustin Rhodes, Goldust, whatever you want to call him, you can tell that he really, really wanted a spot back in the WWE. And it really and absolutely, again, it helps that he's clean and sober, absolutely, because you can tell that his mind is so geared to be a WWE superstar. And Who wouldn't? And what gets me is that, you know, you got a lot of these indie darlings, these internet darlings that go around and you know, go in high school gyms every weekend and bash the WWE, and you get the people who are fired from the WWE bashing the WWE. Now, don't get me wrong. I have the utmost respect for the El Generico's, and this is before he became Sami Zayn in NXT, but the El Generico's, and even currently, people, you know, like the Paul Londons and the Kevin Steens and the Davey Richards and the Homicides and you name it, the Joey Ryans. People of that nature that goes around and does indie shows all the time. I have respect for them. They really earn their stripes by showing how much they have the passion of the business by doing things like that. But we have to keep in mind, though, we have to keep in mind that those people aspire to become WWE superstars. And if they say that they don't, let's make it as straightforward as possible. They're liars. Because if Vince McMahon would call a Joey Ryan, or if Vince McMahon would call a Christopher Daniels, which is one of my favorite wrestlers, by the way, Christopher Daniels is one of the most underrated wrestlers ever in professional wrestling. But
AJ Styles,
AJ Styles, absolutely. If Vince McMahon caught any of those indie sensations without him finishing, they would be knocking on his door from wherever they are. And so we have to keep that in mind. I appreciate the heck out of people who go up and down in the indies. You name it. There's tons and tons and tons of names, but we do have to keep in mind that those people would, in a heartbeat, work for Vince McMahon. So, you know, it makes it very, very interesting to see people like Goldust, who really, I mean, he's really had an up and down career in the WWE. When he debuted, I believe it was 97 or 96.
91.
Yeah, that was
he
when
was
he
was 91.
With
he
his
was
dad.
A tag partner with,
yeah, he was tag teaming with his dad. Dusty Rhodes again. See, everything goes back. All roads, professional
Dustin
wrestling
Rhodes
tonight. Yes, exactly. And as far as the Pancakes and Power Slam show tonight, all roads lead to Dusty Rhodes, because he is the American Dream. He's the Midnight Rider. He is the three-time NWA World Champion, and he is one of the best ever. He's actually my second all-time favorite wrestler? You said Ric Flair?
Yeah, yeah, 16 times. Dusty had it, what, 3?
Yeah, Dusty had it 3. Dusty has been world champion 3 times. Yeah, and Dusty Rhodes, nice little Chris Featherstone back here. Dusty Rhodes is my second all-time favorite wrestler. I think I shared this probably a long time ago, episode 30 something. But my
top
five favorite wrestlers, and I go from 5 to 1. Number 5 is Chris Jericho. Number 4 is we'll get to that. Number 4 is Booker T's number 5. Norman Smiley. Booker T's number 5, Chris Jericho's number 4. Number 3 is, I'm sorry, number, Dusty Rhodes is number 3 in my all-time favorites. Dusty Rhodes is number 3. So Booker T's number 5, Chris Jericho's number 4. But Chris Jericho's my favorite WWE modern era wrestler. But 5 is Booker T, 4 is Chris Jericho, 3 is Dusty Rhodes, 2 is Ricky Steamboat. And number 1, my all-time favorite wrestler, he's the man called Sting. He does this, he does that. He's big as a bull, and he's quick as a cat. Sting,
yeah,
man. Sting. All-time favorite wrestler. Sting is the man. You know, and Derek hates on Sting every week, but he can't fight the fact that similar to how the indie workers, well respected, but the indie workers would in a heartbeat come to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon would go to Steve Borden in a heartbeat if Sting says that he wants to be a part of the WWE. Now, Derek, would you admit that? Absolutely.
Sting is he's like the 2007 Michigan Wolverines. You're number 2, but you'll never be number 1.
That's absolutely not true. And as a diehard Ohio State fan, how dare you mention Michigan in the show? But I tell you what, Sting will always be a free agent in Vince McMahon's eyes. He's offered contracts beforehand to Sting.
Vince
he's came very
is done
close.
With Sting.
He's no way.
He'd rather have Jeff Jarrett back.
That's absolutely not true. And being someone who's a journalist Jim Cornette was mentioned once again on the Pancakes and Power Slam show.
Along with
it's going to get to the point where Jim Cornette is going to have to start paying us promotion fees for acknowledging him, and that's enough of Jim Cornette. But I did say that he was going to be a running joke on Pancakes and Power Slams and Corny, as the chat
Brad
room has
Buttock.
Deemed him. Corny should be Brad Buttocks' manager, and I think both of them should restart Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And that's as far as we'll get with Jim Cornette's this week. But I think Jim Cornette would be the Where's Waldo of Pancakes and Power Slam. Somewhere, somehow, he's going to be inserted.
Sting is the Where's Waldo of WWE.
Oh, no way. That means that people, in that case, people are actually looking for Sting, because I tell you what, let's be real here. There's been reports that Triple H is more than willing, and he's actually taken the initiative to discuss some even WWE Legends deal with Sting, and he wants him to be in the Hall of Fame because he should be in the Hall of Fame. And so, you know, Sting comes in, but let's say he comes in. One thing I don't want to see with Sting, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see a Sting versus Undertaker match at WrestleMania 30. I don't want to see it. because I'm sure that Sting would get in tip-top shape. You know, the guy is 54 now, 54 years old, and so by the time Mania comes, he'll be 55. And so he can still get in great shape, but, I mean, I've been a personal trainer since 2005, and I've trained a 62-year-old woman before and got her in a good shape. So it's possible. It's very, very possible to get in shape no matter how old you are. So Sting knows, he knows the ropes. He can get in shape and prepare himself for WrestleMania. But I don't want it to be against The Undertaker, because Sting would lose. That's just the simple fact. Sting would not, he would not break the Undertaker streak. So
how about against Bruno Sammartino?
Sting against Bruno Sammartino, I think as much as Bruno Sammartino
can bring back Bruno, he can bring Sting. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. He will bring back Sting, but I definitely don't want to see Bruno ever step foot in a WWE ring ever again, because I remember Bruno Sammartino's last days, like in the late 80s, early 90s, and he was feuding against like Randy Savage back then, and I it was sad. I mean, this guy was just doing a bunch of clubs, and he was just clubbing just Savage all the time. I mean, when he would wrestle people, really the only thing he did was just clubs and poses, and that was about it. For him to be world champion for 8 years, he definitely didn't show any of that towards the latter part of his career. It was quite sad. But back on to Raw here. Let's ask another trivia question. And great job, chat room, by the way. CM Punk is known as the Second City Saint. And the next trivia question is, who is known as Canada's Strongest Man? Who was known as Canada's Strongest Man?
Can I answer that?
You can. If nobody answers it after this brief segment about Santino and Los Matadores against Union Jacks, I'll let you answer. But I think the chat room is going to beat you to it. No, unfortunately. Ken Patera is not the correct answer, unfortunately.
Did they say challenged. Ken Patera? Are you serious? Someone said Ken Patera.
They did.
He's all American.
But at least, you know, at least they were bold enough to answer the question.
Ken
Patera is unfortunately, he's not Canada's Strongest Man because he's actually American. He's from Minnesota, I believe. And he was
the... If they would have said Dino Bravo, I would have almost agreed, but...
Come on! You just said the
answer. Hey, I said almost.
You just said the answer. Come on! Yeah, Dino Bravo is the correct answer, courtesy of Derek.
Yes.
But Ken Patera was a really cool heel back in the day. He was with the Heenan family. And I actually was surprised because he was one of the only people that came from the World's Strongest Man competition and actually did something. And because we got so, you know, there's other people that just really didn't do anything, like Bill Kazmaier. That guy, whoa, he went to the WCW and just was just a non-factor. I remember him teaming up with Rick Steiner for a little bit when Scott was out, and Bill Kazmaier was just not.
Wow.
Chat room says, I believe Patera used to be billed as the World's Strongest Man. Yes, he actually was. The question was, who was known as Canada's Strongest Man? And that was Dino Bravo. But, yeah, Patera was definitely billed as the World's Strongest Man. He actually won the competition back in 72. Oh. 74, I believe. I'll have my Crave Wrestling staff hurry up and look at that and see what year that he was World's Strongest Man. You say 72? I say 74.
72. All right.
I say 74.
Out.
Let's see who wins. We'll have the Crave Wrestling staff do that. World's Strongest Man, he was
Until Mark Henry came involved.
He was World's Strongest Man, and he was placed third. And, oh, he actually didn't win. The highest that he got was third in 1977. There you go. 1977, third place. So
you got your facts mixed up, staff. Get your facts straight.
They're doing great as far as looking at being quick to look at the research and do quick research. But yeah, third place, 1977, Ken Patera. As far as I remember, Bill Kazmaier did win once or twice. Kazmaier was just, yikes. I mean, he didn't, he actually won the World's Strongest Man three times in 1980, 81, and 82. So, Bill Kazmaier was...
Doesn't mean you can wrestle.
There you go, right there. Fantastic quote. That's a tweet and a Facebook status. Just because you're strong doesn't mean you can wrestle. We've seen that with many people. Chat room.
At RCD.
Feel free to just throw out some names of, and I'll say it live on air, of big strong man who can't wrestle. I'll start it off. Mason Ryan. All right, so let's go back to Raw here. Santino and Los Matadores against the Union Jacks, which was 3MB. I was wondering why the heels, and we'll get to Fandango, your boy Fandango, here in a moment. But we'll get to that in a moment. But there is a method behind the madness of why Fandango actually got some cheap pops through his gear, but I don't understand why 3MB got some cheap pops and they had them win, had them dressed in the flag, the Union Jack. But anyways, it doesn't matter because they lost, like 3MB always does. And Santino, Los Matadores, they're still trying to push Los Matadores, but I don't think they'll have a long life as far as their gimmick is concerned. The El Torito thing is already getting old. I tell you what, the funniest thing about Los Matadores wrestling is JBL actually plugging it like El Torito is an actual bull, and that's hilarious. But that's it. I mean, that's the only part about Los Matadores wrestling that intrigues me. Otherwise, I like Santino. He's hilarious. But Los Matadores, I don't see them going far at all.
They will never go far, and it's a shame for them. Yeah, the only thing they've got is JBL pumping them all the time. I'm tired of them, bored of them. I thought the 3MB coming out as Union Jacks was kind of cool, but then again, they lost, so big deal. It's nothing really. It was a throwaway match, throwaway tag team. Both of them are. Steam's lost. I'm pretty much tired of it. I've got a few notes about the match, but nothing to really say. So, pull the plug on either one. I hate to say that, but do something with them or just don't even show them at all. I mean, it's not raw material.
I totally agree. I definitely don't think that they will have a long shelf life at all, and I definitely don't think that it will help anything.
The Matadors never will be champions. No,
I don't know. We got our Crave Wrestling admin saying Union Jacks was creative but worthless. That's pretty funny.
Exactly.
I don't think that Los Matadores will have anytime soon, especially with the Rhodes Brothers, with the Usos, with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, with the Primetime Players. and tons of funk, but not
real
really
American.
Because the real Americans, absolutely, definitely the real Americans. I don't see Los Matadores having any type of rank in the tag team division anytime soon. So we'll get a bunch of Olays. I'll tell you what should happen, though. If they have a spot at WrestleMania 30, we should see one more appearance of Arriba, Tito Santana. Bring him out as El Matador. Have him come out with Los Matadores against 3MB. Have 3MB just like beat up on Los Matadores until WrestleMania, and have El Matador come out with Los Matadores against 3MB, and there's your feel-good match, one of your feel-good matches of the night, because I got a good feeling. We'll get to that later with the Flavor of the Week topic. Next trivia question. What two former world champions made up the team Blade Runners? What two former world champions made up the team the Blade Runners? All the tweets have not been accurate. We've got some wrong answers, and through our media outlets here, the chat room is doing the best here, and so I definitely No, you cannot answer
not
it yet.
Okay, I'll wait.
You can't answer it yet. All right, next we have Damian Sandow defeating Kofi Kingston. Poor Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston is just continuing to be just pointless. I mean, just really pointless. I really don't see anything happening with Kofi Kingston. He'll be the resident mid-carder for the rest of his career, and I don't think that I don't think that Kofi Kingston will he'll ascend any higher than mid-card rankings. But the good thing about Damian Sandow is you can definitely tell that he is ascending, that he is growing higher in the ranks, which is fantastic. And I think that Sandow, he'll make for a good heel on SmackDown. I think they're doing good with planting the seeds for him to get a good main event spot in the very near future.
Yeah, I see that. Kofi Kingston's pretty much like the Stagger Lee. He's the Coco Beware of the common era of WWE. And that's a shame.
But
I love Coco.
But he's been mid-card champ like seven times or something like that. He's had like seven reigns between the U.S. Championship
compare that to the late 80s Coco.
Coco did not win a single title in the WWE. That's sad,
yeah.
Too. To be a Hall of Famer in the WWE, he's never won a single championship. Not a tag team, not intercontinental, nothing. And he's Hall of Famer. So he's became like the standard of anybody can get in the Hall of Fame at one point in time. I like Coco Beware too, but yeah, I was correct. He's had four Intercontinental Championship reigns and three United States Championship reigns, Kofi Kingston. So,
and the $20 bill used to look like a $5 bill back in the day. So,
whatever that translates to.
Sandow, he's got a future. I don't know how great or how bright it's going to be, but I mean, he's got a lot more going than Kofi does. So, I mean. That's it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's really about it.
I can see Sandow going on. Next match.
Yeah, I'm going to read this comment on the chat room, very insightful here. Kofi is just not cut out to be champion. Not everyone can be World Heavyweight Champion or WWE Champion. Look at Mr. Perfect, for instance. He was never champion. I definitely understand the
back religious.
Here's the thing, though. I can understand the point. I can understand the point of that. Just as far as saying, you know, Mr. Perfect, Kofi Kingston is no Mr. Perfect. He never will be. He's had more mid-card title reigns than Mr. Perfect. But these days, titles shuffle like a deck of cards. But now, you know, so the reigns, number of reigns don't really mean as much now as it did then. And Kofi Kingston, you're right. Kofi Kingston never beat any Mr. Perfect. But from what I'm understanding, the comment, someone to the status of Mr. Perfect, who did main event, who did have a feud against Hogan, who did have some major main event caliber feuds, only won the Intercontinental title twice. I think he just won. I think he was just 2-time Intercontinental champion. And to be of someone that prestigious and Hall of Famer, he was never a champion. Now, do I believe he should have been champion? Yes. I think that Kurt Hennig definitely made it known in many, many cases that he was world champion caliber, and he should have been a world champion in some form. However, he wasn't champion because he was unfortunately a victim of the Hulk Hogan era, and there's not much of anything, of anyone that could have been a champion other than Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage at the time and the Ultimate Warrior for a hiccup. But a little bit more than a hiccup, a few hiccups. But Kofi Kingston, I totally agree. The person made it very clear in the chat room. He's no way suggesting that Kofi will ever be the level of Mr. Perfect. I understood that, and I think that Derek did as well. But at the same time, Kofi Kingston, even with his achievements, even with his mid-card achievements, I would definitely have to agree with the previous comment. Can't everybody be champion? And I agree with that, and I understand. I think that Kofi Kingston, there were times in Kofi Kingston's career that he could have been champion. I believe it was 2009 that he was feuding with Randy Orton, and he stopped with his Jamaican accent. And he actually had showed that he was not too bad on the mic. And he had that moment where he destroyed Orton's car. It was Survivor Series. He was the sole survivor of his group. He was the sole survivor. He was the last person on the Babyfaces and the heel team. The last two people were Randy Orton and CM Punk. And he beat both of them within seconds. And so, I mean, they really were doing something. At the end of 2009, they really were looking forward to making Kofi Kingston a top guy. But there's a lot of rumors going around that, similar to what happened to Mr. Anderson, unfortunately, Randy Orton caused a D-push of Kofi Kingston because of some missed spots, and there's a lot of talk going around why Kofi stopped his push, but unfortunately now he's not anything. Next question. Okay, so no correct tweets, no correct answers in the chat room. So Derek,
Ultimate Warrior and Sting.
Yeah. Blade Runners, Ultimate Warrior and Sting. Next question. Come on, people on Twitter. Come on, chat room. Show that you are smarter than Derek, our esteemed Pancake Power Stand co-host.
I'm sorry. Everybody just doesn't care about wrestling as much as I do.
Well, I think that we have a ton of listeners that care about wrestling just as much as
I hope
you
they do.
And you care a lot about wrestling.
Obviously, they have something involved. So
absolutely,
come on,
and you
challenge me.
And you care a lot about wrestling. You care about wrestling so much that you wrestled. You used to wrestle. I've said this before. Derek did some indie work for a while, and so I am very happy to have Derek
challenge
as
me.
A co-host on Pancakes and Power Slams. He is with his professional wrestling background, very insightful.
More than that, I'm a wrestling enthusiast like all of you people out there. All you mouth breathers, let's get things together. Let's support Pancakes and Power Slam. Support all of us. I mean, we need your help. We need your input. We need everything. I mean, we're a cult. We're a culture. We love what we do. We love wrestling. We love wrestling trivia. We love to talk about it. This is what we do. Keep it going, Chris.
Absolutely. 85 episodes. We got some fun, fun things in the pike. Fun things. I tell you, just hold tight. We got some new things coming up. Actually, two more weeks. We got a wrestling roundtable. Just going to sprinkle a little bit out to you. Wrestling roundtable. We're going to debut. It's going to be Derek and I and about three or four other enthusiasts in a roundtable discussion, and you, the listeners, get to be a part of it as well through call-ins and chat room interaction. But let's go forward to Curtis Axel against Dolph Ziggler. Axel wins. I really don't have much to say about this. Axel, speaking of Kurt Hennig, we esteem Kurt Hennig so much, and then Curtis Axel, and they're trying their best to make this guy a relevant name. But Axel is done. He's just boring. He has no charisma. And they had him beat Ziggler because Ziggler beat him last week, and I understand. But at the same time, hopefully this will lead to a rubber match at Survivor Series, and Ziggler wins that title. Axel needs to drop the title. Period, and I will keep saying it until he drops the title.
We've been saying that for weeks and weeks and weeks here on Pancakes
yes.
and Power Slam. Axel needs to drop the title already, please. Nothing else to give, and if he does, prove me wrong. I hope he does. Maybe something can happen to where Curtis Axel is somebody we can talk praises about. I mean, he's got talent. He just doesn't have what he needs to have to hold the Intercontinental Championship. And Ziggler, he's got just a little more of that edge of the charisma and whatever. So, Axel, we're tired of you. You're boring. Prove us wrong. I want you to prove us wrong. What's up next?
Absolutely. What's up next is who managed the Road Warriors? You can't say it, Derek. The Road Warriors? Who managed the Road Warriors? And Sonny doesn't count because I didn't say – I didn't say Legion
Road
of Doom.
Warriors 2000.
I said, great job, chat room already. Paul Ellering, that one was easy. Next question is, Rikishi was a member of what tag team in the WWE? And Too Cool doesn't count either. Rikishi was a member of what team? But he wasn't Rikishi, I'll say that much. He was a member of what team in the WWE? Rikishi as a person, not Rikishi the gimmick. He was a member of what team in the WWE? Next, we have Tamina Snuka against Nikki Bella, defeating Nikki Bella. More AJ involvements. I have no idea why they're still keeping these Bella and AJ feud going on. It didn't really do much in the first place.
AJ's the only thing they have going in the Divas division. I mean, Snuka's daughter's great. Bella twins, okay. But AJ is the only thing they can really bank on, and that's a shame. I like AJ. She's great, but she needs somebody that kind of fits her level of where she's going with what she's doing. She's been around for a long time now. They've got nothing. They have nothing but AJ, and that's it.
Indeed. Well, I will throw in Natalya as well. She's my favorite person, diva on the roster because she has phenomenal talent. She's the best wrestler on the roster as far as the divas are concerned. Now we get to Tyson Kidd versus it was a nice moment. And we reported on WrestlingInc.com that the reason why Fandango was wearing the Union Jack tights was because Vince attributed the Fandangoing to the European crowd because when they were in Jersey the night after Raw, that was a lot of people from overseas, because they're a huge chunk of the WrestleMania crowd was a huge chunk of the WrestleMania crowd were from overseas, and so they kind of bled through onto Raw because they it was both in New Jersey, so you know they spent the night at a hotel, came over to Raw, and just made America look like crap as far as their support for wrestling and their excitement and, you know, and just feverish chants and all that. I mean, they took a nice dump on the American standard of celebration and American standard of, and Europe is more of a soccer country anyway, so you got those huge soccer crowds, arenas, and soccer, European soccer, which they call football, they have some of the craziest, most exciting crowds, period, and they just kind of put that into a WWE environment arena, as you saw in Manchester, just really, really funny, really, really exciting, but you won't come. It's very few crowds that can try to compete against European crowds. And so Fandango, he wears the Union Jack to kind of pander to the European crowd, and it worked. They went Fandangoing, and he defeated Tyson Kidd.
Hey, they did. You know, Fandango, that was a great win for him last night. It seems like almost somebody like the Tennessee Titans could almost use a crowd or a push that European soccer fans give their team, the Manchester United and the Liverpool Beatles and whatever they have. So, great win for Fandango. We saw Tyson last night. I don't remember seeing him for a long time, but maybe I just don't remember. But anyway, so I give it up for Fandango. He's in a way my guy. I like Fandango. So that was a great win. Yeah, the Tennessee. All right.
Yeah.
Back to you, Chris Featherstone. What's next?
Tennessee Titans. See, I tell you what, man. Derek is continuing to give me low blows. He understands that my favorite NFL team is the Tennessee Titans. And they are now 4-5 after losing to an 0-8 Jacksonville Jaguar team. What in the world, Tennessee Titans? Come on, Munchak. All right, that was a little bit of my moment there. I mean, come on, 0-8. Come on, Derek. 0-8 Jacksonville team. They did not win a single – They did not win a single football game until they went against the Tennessee Titans, and they beat them 29-27.
And that was
man,
wow!
That was
Jacksonville.
That was
my thumbs up. That was
absolutely embarrassing.
They played like champions.
Oh yeah,
I know, like,
sure. Sure deal. Next we have, we have another trivia question. Not correct so far. So I'll let you answer, Derek. Rikishi was a member of what tag team in the WWE?
Oh man, there.
Oh, stumped. He is stumped, ladies and gentlemen. Derek has
too cool.
Nope. You've been beat. The chat room
you
got you the
too.
Correct answer. I see you're not listening, co-host. I said you cannot say too cool. That does not count. I said the Rikishi as a gimmick is not what I'm saying. Rikishi as a person was a member of. You've already been outdone. Chat room, great job. You showed that you stumped Derek. The correct answer is the Head Shrinkers. Absolutely. The
that
Head
doesn't
Shrinkers.
Count. Who cares? I didn't have cable TV back then.
Samu and Fatu, the Head Shrinkers. You know about the Head Shrinkers.
Yeah, I know about them, but who cares?
Former tag team champions. Come on.
For crying out loud. Head shrinker. Whoever answered that, you're on whatever.
Whatever.
That's
whatever,
garbage.
Whatever,
I don't care. No, whatever. Head shrinker. That's an afterthought.
Whoever answered that, it knows they're wrestling because it's the correct answer. I mean, you know.
Okay, well, good for them.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, they know they're wrestling, so that's why.
Yeah, they know one answer, big deal. I know everything.
Other than Rikishi's
head shrinker.
Another question then is, the cross-face chicken wing was the finisher of what former WWE champ? And you can't
Bob
answer
Backlund.
It, Derek? You, oh,
no, I
man.
I can't answer. I didn't answer it.
Oh, boy, man.
I didn't answer.
You
I'm sorry.
Can't answer yet. Okay, the next question then, without your answering, because I'm sure that you felt better by answering that question, Bob Backlund is correct. Who was the father of Bray Wyatt? Chat room or tweet at Crave Wrestling. Who was the father of Bray Wyatt? Next, we have John Cena against the Real Americans. That was actually a good match. Between the two. Real Americans they're starting to become one of the hottest tag teams in the WWE. For them being one of the for them having this kind of like a lackluster tag team career so far, I'll give it up to them. They have definitely been one of the best, one of the uprising tag teams. And I definitely give them Uber credit. So far, we don't have the correct answer with the, yeah, I'll give, now we have, IRS, that's correct, which is Mike Rotunda. So great job, IRS. Is the father of Bray Wyatt. So he is I guess you can say he's a second or third generation superstar because of the Blackjacks. So, but he is Rotunda's son. Very interesting there.
Good job, chat room.
Absolutely, we got some.
I
got some pure.
I was just waiting for them to answer.
We got some pure wrestling heads in the chat room. Fantastic job and. Tweeting at Crave Wrestling as well. We're going to open up the lines if time 347-884-8452. Call in, and we should be able to open the lines here soon. And John Cena and Real Americans again. They had a good match. Super Cena is back officially. Super Cena is back. You know, he's going in SmackDown and winning just about every match and. Then we got Del Rio attacking Cena post-match, and Big E Langston makes a save. Many people know that I'm a big fan of Big E Langston. I like the fact that they're inserting him in a prominent role again. The only thing is he ended up losing against Alberto Del Rio. But at the same time, they... at least he is becoming someone who, as a babyface, we're looking at. And I'm very, very happy that they are giving some type of exposure to Big E Langston other than being a shadow of Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee.
Yeah, Langston, it's pretty good what's going on with him. I'd be happy if I was him. He's getting exposure. As far as going up against Del Rio, I don't really see Del Rio as being a factor in the World Championship anymore. He should give that up. It really wasn't his thing. Whatever happened to RVD and what was that guy, the announcer, Ricardo?
Ricardo Rodriguez. RVD he has a 90-day contract. He gets 90 on and 90 off. That was his contract.
Yeah, what does that constitute for Ricardo as well? I mean...
No, they just didn't have anything to do with
it. I like Ricardo.
Other than wrestling under a mask as El Locale, he's been doing some work in NXT and dark matches, and he was actually one of the masked people in the Columbus, Ohio SmackDown with the it was El Locals, and the other person was Tyson Kidd that was under the mask. So pretty interesting as El Local, but other than that, Ricardo's not too big of a factor anymore. Next, we go to R2 defeating Ryback. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I'm so shocked that they would have R-Truth defeat Ryback, but I like R-Truth, and I'm very happy that it defeat Ryback. And it just goes to show how pointless and useless Ryback is, especially after that Paul Heyman promo where he just totally just demolished him, every ounce of dignity that Ryback had.
It is disgusting. What are they going to do with Ryback? Why does he keep showing up? That's the thing, is why is this guy back? There's nothing. They've lost pretty much all hope with Ryback. I don't know what else they can do with him. I mean, Paul Heyman, when they brought him in with Ryback, that seemed pretty good, like a nice connection, but evidently that fell through. I don't see anything with Ryback, Paul Heyman, but yeah, I see Paul Heyman. He's going to be a character for a while. Ryback, not so much. Ryback is... Can I say he's almost a Coco Beware? Chris, you're...
I would actually put Ryback under Coco Beware, to be
yes,
honest.
Yes, me too.
I definitely would put him under Coco Beware. Ryback, as much as Coco Beware will not achieve much of...
I'm not a Coco hater either.
Yeah, I agree. And Coco was a good, you know, he's a good, he was a good name for the WWE at the time. I mean, come on now. He came up with the Birdman song. He came up with Pile Driver. Come on now. Pile Driver is one of the most popular songs in the mid-80s with the WWE CD. That Pile Driver song was great. So... If nobody ever listened, the Power Driver, sometimes
Coco Beware has one of the most beautiful voices in wrestling.
Yeah,
he does.
He can actually sing.
I mean, he sang that. He sang a couple other songs on that album, too.
Yeah.
Power Driver
I
mean, he was
actually,
him and
he's
Jimmy
actually
Hart.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Jimmy Hart used to be in a band called the Gentrys back in the 60s.
Absolutely.
Had number one hit. And
then
he went on to be a wrestling manager, which he helped Andy Kaufman back in the day against Jerry Lawler back in the 80s. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Coco Beware's he's got some depth.
Yes. So this episode of this episode of Pancakes of Power Slams number 85 has been revolved around Coco Beware. So, ladies and gentlemen, kudos to Coco Beware. I'll have the staff go out and try. Yeah, I'll see. You know what? As a matter of fact, I want to bring Coco Beware on the show, and I'm sure that he's probably feeding his bird somewhere in Georgia or something like that right now, I don't think he'd mind being a guest host on the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We've had some good guests, by the way, some great guests in this series.
Yeah, you
the
did.
Interview
who
series.
Were those guests? Let us know. I mean, who were the guests for crying out loud.
We've had Onyx. We've had Onyx. We've had Caprice Coleman. We've had Crimson. And we will just continue to we have some fun announcements here coming up the pike. So we'll have more coming up here soon. But Coco Beware will definitely be one of a prospect to be on the show. I mean, why not, man? You know. When he was Stagger Lee I'm sure that he'll have some fun things to talk about hopefully he's on the show. But then we get to the Paul Heyman promo. We're running out of time here. Paul Heyman promo, CM Punk interrupts, takes out Curtis Axel. I guess that solidifies the gimmick. I guess that there was talk that Paul Heyman was going to be on the show, but I see why. I guess that's maybe like a sealing the deal with that, and it kind of and kind of transition into CM Punk and Daniel Bryan versus The Shield. But I'll tell you what, the Raw was decent. It wasn't spectacular, but the ending was really good, though. I'll definitely give kudos to WWE for the ending of Raw, especially that Shield and the Wyatts face off, and then Dean Ambrose kind of plays it off. That was really good. And I was skeptical for a long time of the show-off or the showdown between, if there were ever going to be one, showdown between the Shield and the Wyatt family, because they're both heels, and that really wouldn't go too well. But it was a good showdown. It was a good tease. And I'm glad that it was just a tease. And I'm also glad that it led to all six of them going after CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and then the Usos and the Rhodes brothers come out. So we should be looking for a 12-man tag team match at Survivor Series, which, I mean, bring back the traditional Survivor Series tag team matches.
Yes,
this is
please.
A really, really good way.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to see. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it last night. Traditional Survivor Series that they had back in the 80s when they started, early, mid-90s, they kept doing it, then they kind of lost their way. But, I mean, that's absolutely, that's what I want to see at the Survivor Series. I want to see a bunch of people tag up that don't normally tag together and just tear the house down. I think that's what's going to happen with this match.
Yeah. We need to see at least two. I would like to see at least two or three traditional tag team matches at Survivor Series. I mean, that's what it's all about. Thanksgiving tradition, multi-person tag team matches. For the WWE to not really highlight that gimmick, that concept of Survivor Series is just ludicrous. That's exactly what it should be. You should have traditional tag team matches. You should have, like, four of them at least.
Exactly, yeah.
The more the better, because it's a once-a-year thing. You really don't have to revolve around having so many angles built and things of that nature. The tradition speaks of itself. I think it started in, 89 was the first Survivor Series? 87, you're right. 87 was Survivor Series. 88 was the Royal Rumble, right? And 89
was the Royal Rumble.
89 was the first Royal Rumble. 88 was the first SummerSlam. Yeah, SummerSlam 88 was the 88 was the first SummerSlam. So Mania, SummerSlam, Mania was 85. Survivor
Actually,
Series.
Actually, 88 was the first Royal Rumble. I think. Hacksaw Jim Duggan won the first one, I think.
Yeah, Dugan. He won the first Royal Rumble.
And then Big John Studd won it in 89.
Yes, I can actually tell you who won. I can actually go through the whole list of Royal Rumble winners right now. You ready? Here we go. 88, Dugan.
Dugan.
Dugan is a running joke for those who've never watched the Mid-South DVD, which you should. Go grab that Mid-South DVD. It's
beautiful.
It's a great DVD. But what's so funny is when they would refer to Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the Mid-South, they would call him Dugan. Ladies and gentlemen, Hacksaw Jim Dugan.
Dugan!
Yeah, and so that name, his name's Duggan, and we've known him for so long that WWE is Duggan, but just say Dugan, it just sounds funny. Dugan. And so Dugan was the 88 winner. 89 was John Studd. 90 was Hogan. 91 was Hogan. 92 was Flair. 93 was Yokozuna. 94 was Bret Hart and Lex Luger. 95 was Michaels. 96 was Michaels. 97 was Austin, 98 was Austin, 99 was Vince, 2000 was The Rock, 2001 was Hulk Hogan, 02 was Triple H, I believe, because he came back in 02 from his from his injury, so that was 02. 03 was Benoit. 04 was Mysterio. 05 was... No, wait. 06 was Mysterio. 05 was Batista, I believe. I think I'm missing 04. 04, 2004 Royal Rumble. Hurry. Somebody. 2004, that'll get back to me. Where am I at? 2007 was The Undertaker. 2008 was John Cena. 2009 was Randy Orton. 2010 was Edge. 2011 was Del Rio. 2012 was Sheamus. 2013 was John Cena. So there you go. The boy knows his
trivia. What was
trivia.
2004?
2004 was, man. It was Benoit. Benoit was 2004. 2003 was, Brock Lesnar. 2002 was Triple H. 2003 was Brock Lesnar. 04 was Benoit. 5 Batista. 6 Mysterio. And so on and so forth. There you go. There you go. I know my Royal Rumble trivia. There you go. All right, let's go to SmackDown real quick. I'm not going to touch on this long because we'll go straight into the flavor of the week here real quick. SmackDown. A few highlights. The Daniel Bryan and Luke Harper match was a good setup for continuing the feud. And John Cena versus Ryback was actually a good match. Surprisingly, Ryback probably had one of his best matches that he's ever had on SmackDown against John Cena. It was actually a pretty good match, surprisingly. As far as Impact Wrestling is concerned, the Full Metal Mayhem match between Jeff Hardy and Chris Sabin was really good. More Ethan Carter III, but he's going against Dewey Barnes again. I really don't understand that so much. The Aces and Eights moment was just kind of cheesy. They faked it and then kind of pulled a ruse over Ken Anderson. I understood why they did that, but I really hope that the Aces and Eights totally disbands after this feud. I mean, this is it. After the Ken Anderson feud, no more Aces and Eights, period. But I'll tell you what, the highlight of the night and what I'm really, really, really liking is the Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode feud. They're just doing absolutely spectacular with feuding the two. Very passionate, good on the mic, of course, good in-ring action. So I'm looking forward to the continued feud between Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle. They're doing a great job. The abrupt finish that they've been doing, I'm not a big fan of that. And the convulsions that Angle did and he's been doing, not a big fan of that. But otherwise, the in-ring action has been absolutely superb. And I'm looking forward to more matches between the two. As far as ROH, the latest episode had some really good matches. We saw Jesse Sorensen from TNA come back to wrestle in ROH, losing to Tommaso Ciampa, which is one of my favorite wrestlers. I really am a big Tommaso Ciampa fan. And then Outlaw Inc., Homicide, and Eddie Kingston. They defeated Adrenaline Rush, which is Tadarius Thomas and ACH. And then the last match was absolutely phenomenal. If you were able to watch it somehow, somewhere, Paul London, which is also one of my favorite wrestlers, I loved when he was tag team champions with Brian Kendrick for almost a year. That was a big, big shock that they were tag team champions for almost a year in the WWE. He defeats Roderick Strong. That match was just absolutely phenomenal. So if you get a chance, check that out. The latest ROH. And then the episode before, we had Lisa Marie Verone, which is Tara or Victoria, return and attack Maria. So that was pretty interesting too. So ROH is starting to get some – they've always – to me, they have the best talent pool.
fantastic wrestling action, and I followed ROH from the beginning, just like TNA, and I really hope that they get a better primetime spot because people are really, really missing out on ROH and how good that they are. I mean, they're a fantastic talent pool, some of the best pure wrestling of all of television, and I really hope that they get a primetime spot. All right, let's get to the flavor of the week. We're going to talk a little bit about Mr. Terry Bollea, otherwise known as the Immortal Hulk Hogan. He had a four-year stint in the TNA promotion. He came in 2009 and signed with TNA, worked with Dixie Carter. And the hopes was to kind of revive, or well, TNA was more homegrown, and people were respecting the homegrown talent they were building. They build Austin Aries. Austin Aries was doing some work in ROH. He's known for ROH as well, but he was getting some popularity in TNA because TNA was better funded and more televised. But homegrown talent as far as James Storm, Chris Harris at the time, Eric Young, Bobby Roode, those are named Samoa Joe, although he also did some ROH work back in the, you know, before he went to TNA. But and of course AJ Styles, who also did ROH work, but AJ Styles is probably the best product that came out of TNA as far as homegrown talent. So they were doing that. They were doing a good job at that, bringing some other people in like Kurt Angle and Christian and Rhino and Sting. And then Hogan comes in, and he kind of changes the scene a little bit, brings in a lot of names that people really didn't care about, like the Nasty Boys, Val Venus. You know, those names really didn't mean Orlando Jordan, you know, those names really didn't mean much. And he also, you know, Ric Flair was also a name that was brought in during the Hogan Bischoff era. That didn't really last. That didn't really mean much either. I mean, Flair as a name was good, but Flair didn't really he didn't really draw more viewers as well. I mean, he did have the Fortune group, which was creative. But other than that, he just really didn't do anything either. So people were not really happy with the Hogan regime at all, and I was one of them. He definitely turned it upside down, and it shouldn't have been turned upside down. It was actually rising up. And one of the biggest moments of destruction for TNA was having the audacity to compete with the WWE by going head-to-head. The January 4th, 2010 episode, when they went head-to-head and they brought in Jeff Hardy and they brought in and Hogan, it was Hogan's first day, and you know, a couple other names was brought in. Flair came in that day too. But they were going head-to-head with the encounter, so to speak, the moment. It was over 12 years in the making, where Bret Hart was going to confront Shawn Michaels. So you got the Michaels and Bret Hart confrontation against whatever TNA comes up with. That was an absolute debacle. It was a horrible idea, and that did not last long whatsoever by competing head-to-head with WWE. I mean, they really got put back into their place. And so Hogan really didn't – I mean, he didn't do much of anything – for the TNA promotion, and a lot of people blame him for their weakened state right now. However, his contract was up last month, and he's a free agent again. And so there's rumors about him. Great point by the chat room. The ECW, which became their name was. What was it? Something 2.0. I don't remember. Their name's slipping me right now. Something, EV 2.0, that's what, EV 2.0, Extreme Version 2, or EV 2.0. yeah, that was, and that Hardcore Justice pay-per-view was just an absolute failure. That was probably TNA's worst pay-per-view they've ever had. They had to do a bunch of name changes because of legal issues. If anybody, YouTube that Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, me being an avid ECW fan back in the day, I actually spent my money, my hard-earned money, back in 2010, I believe it came, 2009 or 2010, when the pay-per-view came on. And I spent my hard-working money to actually buy the pay-per-view, and it was the worst pay-per-view I've ever bought in my life, and I bought a lot of pay-per-views. So we got a couple minutes. Real quick, give me two of your best minutes, Derek. Should or should not Hulk Hogan appear in WrestleMania 30?
He should appear in WrestleMania 30 because that's where Hulk Hogan belongs in WWE. Hulk Hogan was in TNA. He was in WCW. He did great for the WCW. He really did. But he will never be what he should be. And the WWE fans will always love and respect Hulk Hogan. Hulkamania runs wild. Not in TNA because it's out of his comfort zone. Just like you wearing a size 15 shoe when you should wear a size 12. Doesn't fit, doesn't match, doesn't matter what you did there. If you were Hulk Hogan, you were to be in WrestleMania 30, it would blow everyone's mind. Everybody loves Hulk Hogan in the WWE. That's where he belongs. That's it, period.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's it.
I agree. I totally agree with you. I think that he should come back. I don't care all of the people who make fun of Hogan and how bad he is. They will mark out when they hear the Real American song. They want to see the big leg. It will bring back nostalgia. He was there at the very first WrestleMania, main eventing. Real quick, what was the main event at WrestleMania 1? Real quick.
WrestleMania 1 was Mr. T, Hulk Hogan. Muhammad Ali was the outside referee against Paul Orndorff, Roddy Piper, and Bob Orton was the outside. He was the manager.
Absolutely, you forgot Snuka as well. Snuka was with them as well.
He cares about Snuka.
I do. That guy's a fantastic
wrestler.
Yeah, I do
too. Snuka was there. Snuka.
3-4-3. Snuka Dugan. 347-884-8452 is the number. Put in your back pocket for next week. We have fun as we do all the time. 85 episodes in the archives. Tell your friends, tell your family. WeAreWrestling.net. Check them out. WeAreWrestling.net. Check out their show on Mondays as well. Check out their website. Looking good. And check out their just support them. WeAreWrestling.net. Fantastic minds of wrestling. And continue to support Crave Wrestling, of course, at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Follow Crave Wrestling on Facebook, like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. And follow me on Twitter, at Crave Wrestling, of course. And follow me through Bleacher Report, feature columnist there, and also WrestlingInc.com. So thank you so much. Thank you for all the chat room interaction. Thank you for the Twitter interaction. Fantastic as always. Until next week, we will continue to be the premier show on the air on Tuesday nights. Once again, WeAreWrestling.net. Check them out. Until next week, have a fantastic week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.